Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we turn to verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Here's Paul Chappell.
One of the reasons that people go from company to company and church to church and relationship to relationship is because they are not at peace within themselves. And the Bible says in James 3 and verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, first of all, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so, if the fruit of righteousness has been sown in our life through Jesus Christ, now we are a candidate to be a peacemaker. But until I know the peace of God, I cannot share the peace of God. So I must know Jesus Christ if I'm going to be a peacemaker. Secondly, I must then resist the enemies of peace. And there are enemies of peace today in your home and in every relationship of life. And I want you to see these enemies of peace here in James also, chapter 4 and verse number 1. And notice what it says here. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even hence, even your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, James says in James 4:1 that the reason that there's so much fighting and warring is because of lusting in the heart of men. And when there is a heart problem, there will not be peace with someone else. And so we see that we must resist the enemy of peace, which is the lust of the heart. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, having a friend in Christ is more important than making them pay a $200 bill they owe you. Keeping peace in your family is more important than whose turn is it to take out the trash. Having in our lives a peace with others is vital. But the reason so many times that there is no peace is because the Bible says of there are lusts that war in our members. We want to be right. The flesh wants its own way. And we need to realize today the enemies of the family, one of them is the lust of the flesh. President Lincoln, before he was president, he was practicing law, and someone came to him one day and said, Mr. Lincoln, I want you to help me with a case that I need solved. And Abraham Lincoln said, that'd be fine. How can I help you? He said, a man owes me $2.50, and I want it. He says, and I want to make this man pay me. And President Lincoln said, well, sir, it's hardly worth the trouble for that kind of money. He said, have you just thought maybe just forgiving the debt? He said, no, I'll not forgive the debt. That man's going to pay me if it's the last thing he does. Well, Mr. Lincoln said, all right, my services will be $10. The man said, fine, gave the $10 to him. And Mr. Lincoln went over to the defendant. He said, now, do you admit that you owe this man $2.50? Defendant said, yes, I do. I just can't pay it. He said, I admit I owe him. Mr. Lincoln said, here's $2.50. Go pay him. Man went over and paid him. Mr. Lincoln took $7.50, put in his pocket. Now, we laugh, but I've seen Christians that way. You know? We're going to have our rights. We're going to prove our point. And what we need to do is put aside the flesh and the personal desires and say, listen, it's more important to have peace in my home. It's more important to have peace in my church. It's more important to have peace with my brother in Christ than it is to win the argument. Well, I tell you, if I wanted to just get all upset and frustrated, I could start thinking about all the people that have ripped me off or conned me. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's between them and God, and I'm going to live on the victory side, and I'm going to live with peace in my heart, and I'm going to do my best to live at peace with anyone that will live at peace with me. The Bible says in Galatians 5:19 that when there is strife, there is the lust of the flesh taking place. So one of the real enemies of this matter of living at peace with someone is the lust of our flesh, or the desire to have our own selfish way. And then there's another enemy of the peace, and that is sowing discord or being with those who would sow discord. If you are with them, you are going to find a lack of peace in your own life. Notice, if you would, in Proverbs 6:16 for just a moment. Proverbs 6, we're looking now at the enemies of peace. If we're going to have peace in our lives, we must know the enemies of peace. We must first know the Prince of Peace, but then we must secondly know the enemies of peace. The first enemy is within my heart, the lust of the flesh, or the desire to be right. The second enemy would be those who are always warring, and those who are always opposing, and those who are always embroiled in controversy. Proverbs 6:16. Now notice this verse, would you? These six things doth the Lord hate. Now, let me have your attention. How many of you, that gets your attention? These six things doth the Lord hate. Whoa. All right. It doesn't say these six things Baptists hate. It doesn't say these six things the pastor hates or your husband hates. It says these six things doth the Lord hate. Now, I know in some churches, the thought of God hating anything, oh, no, we serve a God of love and not a God of hate. And yet the fact of the matter is that if there's going to be peace, and if God is for peace, then he's going to be against some other things. Listen, you can't be for something without being against something. My wife and son are working diligently at a little garden in our backyard, and they're trying to get some radishes to come up, trying to get some other things to grow, tomatoes, and they just keep dying all the time. But we're working at it, trying to get these things to grow. But you know, if you're going to be for a garden, you're going to be against weeds. And one of the things they do is pull a lot of weeds. Now, how many of you believe that God is for peace? Do you believe that? Now, if God is for peace, then he's against those things which hinder peace. And this is something you must realize. If you want to be a peacemaker, then you cannot be with those who are constantly embroiled in controversy and fighting and warring and gossiping. And you and I must understand that if we are for peace, then we cannot be for discord at the same time. It's impossible. Now notice what it says. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now notice what it says. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Now, friend, we need to recognize then today that there are two major enemies of peace. One is within my own heart, and that is the lust and the desire to have my way. And the second enemy of peace are those who are constantly sowing discord. Hey, let me tell you this. Let me tell you that. Let's do. And you need to recognize in your life that if there is a tendency toward that type of speaking or towards that type of activity, that you are not helping anybody's peace process. You are only furthering the problem. And again, oftentimes people that are at war with one another are really at war within themselves. And the reason that they're constantly warring with someone else is because there's the lust of the flesh in their own heart and the desire to have their own way, even while they're saying so-and-so wants her way. The truth is, in their own heart, there's a motive that is not right. So the process of peacemaking, how can we be peacemakers? Number one, we must know the Prince of Peace personally. You must be saved. Secondly, you must know the enemies of peace, the lust of the flesh in our heart, and those who would sow discord. Those who would sow discord are also the enemy of peace. And then, if we would be peacemakers, thirdly, we must yield to the Spirit of peace. I must be yielded to the Spirit of peace. Galatians 5 and verse 22 tells us about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and then peace. And friend, you mark it down. A Christian that's constantly irritated, constantly upset, constantly rattling off their mouth, constantly fighting some situation, every job, everyone's against them, every place they go, everyone's against them. You mark it down, someone whose life is characterized by this type of unrest is someone who is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and yourself at the same time. But when you say, Lord, I want to die to myself, I want to be emptied of myself and filled with your Spirit, now you can be at peace with yourself and with God, and you can be at peace with others. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. You say, well, I just can't live at peace with her. Yes, you can if you're filled with the Spirit. I can't live at peace with this situation. Yes, you can if you're filled with the Spirit, because peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. And when the peace of God is in your life through the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're filled by the Spirit of God, then you can live at peace with God. Alfred Holt Colquitt was a United States Senator in the late 1800s and the governor of Georgia. And Alfred Colquitt was speaking on one occasion to the Alliance of Pastors in the state of Georgia. And as he stood before the pastors, this United States Senator at the time spoke these words. He said, I believe it is the mission of the ministers today and of the Christian laymen in this land to go out into the fields and highways and meet the enemies that are seeking to place barriers in the way of Christian civilization, to meet the foe as he comes. Religion and politics ought to be wedded like a loving pair. Boy, wouldn't that make the ACLU nervous today if some senator said that? But he says, religion and politics ought to be wedded like a loving pair. The Spirit of our Master, who preached peace, should preside at our diplomatic councils. The love of our neighbor and of our friends, those should be the basis not only of our Christianity and our patriotism, but of our daily politics. Here was a Christian man who was saying, if we could take the love and the peace of our Master and go out and spread that every day where we are, the world would be a better place. And friend, if you have peace with God in your life, then your heart's desire should not be to go out and look for a good fight tomorrow, but your heart's desire should go out and say, Lord, how can I share the gospel? How can I share your peace? And what can I do today to help someone else live with more peace in their life and not with less peace in their life? And Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, if he is the Lord of your life, then that will be evident in the everyday situations that you face. And so we see the person of peace, Jesus Christ, prophesied in the book of Genesis, fulfilled in the book of Matthew. Jesus Christ came to bring peace to this earth. He was rejected by and large, but to those of us who receive him as Savior today, we can still know his peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And then the process of peacemaking. I can make peace with others as I know the Lord Jesus personally. And as I resist the lust of the flesh. And as I resist those who are sowing discord. And as I, in my life, yield to the Spirit of God, I can be a peacemaker instead of a troublemaker. And then thirdly, the product of peace. The product of peace. Now, how will I know that God's peace is really evident in my life? Listen. It may not be through physical blessings. It may not be through a new job. But I think there are some ways to know that God is working in your life. Now let's turn back to Philippians for just a moment. The product of peace. Let's see this verse once again in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. That word means worry about nothing or full of care. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, and when you are walking in prayer, there is going to be peace in your heart. And when there is peace in your heart, the second product will be peace with others. Now listen very carefully. If there is war in my heart, then I will look for the point of difference with you. But if there is peace in my heart, then I will look for the point of agreement with you. If there is war in my heart, I'm going to look for something to differ with you about. We may agree on 99% of the things, but if there's war in my heart, I'm going to find that 1% thing we don't agree on. But if there's peace in my heart, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to try to find that which I can agree with you about. Now, sometimes having peace with others is a difficult thing. It's hard to do that. But the Bible says we should make that as our goal. Peace is not something that you and I should seek to avoid, but something that we should seek to find. One man said this. He said, peace is that luxury between our kids' bedtime and our bedtime. That's his definition of peace. It's that luxury between when the kids go to bed and when mom and I go to bed. That 1 hour right there, that's what peace is all about. Someone else said the amazing thing about the man who was arrested for disturbing the peace is that he found any to disturb in the first place. And I can agree with that. There's just not a lot of peace. But the fact of the matter is that we can have peace in our hearts and then peace with others, and that's the product of peace. And then thirdly, we can be at peace even with our enemies. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. God's word says, look, if it's any way possible just to be at peace with someone, then do your best to make that happen. Now, it's difficult with some people. And sometimes you'll have situations in your life where you'll just part ways with someone and you've tried and you prayed and yet they're setting a different course. And that's a part of life. But the Bible says if it's possible, try to be at peace with those people. George Washington, in June of 1779, at his headquarters near the Hudson River, recorded this prayer. He said this prayer and it was recorded. He said, and now, Almighty Father, if it is thy holy will that we shall obtain a place and name among the nations of the earth, grant that we may be enabled to show our gratitude for thy goodness by our endeavors to fear and obey thee. Bless us with thy wisdom and our counsels, success in battle, and let our victories be tempered with humanity. And then listen to this phrase. Endow also our enemies with enlightened minds, that they become sensible of their injustice and willing to restore our liberty and peace. Here was a man who, though he was prepared to give his life and to thrust the lives of others into battle before the battle ever started, he said, Lord, I want to pray for my enemy. I want to pray that you'd change their heart. I want to pray that you'd cause this battle to be avoided, if at all possible. Was George Washington willing to go and fight for peace and freedom and liberty? Yes. If that be the case, because of the injustice placed upon the colonies, if that was the case, then he was glad to stand and to defend peace and liberty. But if there could be peace found without war, that was his first prayer. That should be the first prayer of every Christian. That should be the first prayer of every Christian. And George Washington certainly was a great Christian. And we thank God for his testimony. One way to be at peace then with others is to pray for them, to ask God to change their hearts. The product of peace, when someone is really experiencing peace, they have peace in their heart, they have peace with others, they have peace even with their enemies. If it is all possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Now notice what it says back in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now think of this as we close. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In other words, a child of God will be known as someone who's endeavoring to live at peace with others. This will be what they are known for. Oftentimes, children reflect the attributes of their parents. And this verse is saying, if you know God and you know His peace, then you will reflect His attributes through your life, and people will say, that man is a child of God. That woman is a child of God, because they're endeavoring to spread the peace of God wherever they go. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Bible says, for they shall be called the children of God. We think of America today. America has been and is a nation that is willing to stand up for right and has been willing to defend the freedoms of others here and around the world. And though we have our problems, and though at times our values seem to be confused these days, the bravery of our soldiers, literally, in the past, because of what they have done and because of the lives that have been given, it makes me today proud to see the red, white, and the blue. In fact, every time I see it, I'm proud of the flag of the United States of America. Why? Because of the testimony of men and women who've sacrificed for our freedom. But you know, friend, every one of you have a reputation today. And when you walk by your family and friends, they also think thoughts, just like we have thoughts when the flag goes by. And when you go by, there's thoughts that rush into their mind. It may be that when someone sees you, they think of, there goes that angry, spout-off kind of a woman. Disgruntled, disgusted, argumentative. There she goes. There goes that fella there. He's always mad and always upset with everybody and always fighting for his rights. Or maybe when you go by, they say, there goes that Christian. There goes that guy that helped me the other day and wouldn't take money for it. There goes that guy that's always talking about Jesus. He's a nice guy. There goes that lady over there. She's always smiling. She must be a child of God. She must be a Christian. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Someone who knows the Prince of Peace and someone who practices the pathway of peace and someone then who experienced the peace of God in their everyday lives is someone whose testimony is truly known by those all around them. Friend, let me say to you this morning, you can make peace with God today by coming to Jesus Christ as Savior. And if He's your Savior, you can make peace with others by being filled by His Spirit and by putting aside the lust of the flesh, putting aside the discord way and being filled with His Spirit to find the way of peace that God wants you to experience. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for this verse, blessed are the peacemakers. And Lord, as we study the Beatitudes, we realize that these are the attitudes that ought to be in every Christian. And Lord, You have told us in the Bible that we're to contend for the faith and stand up, and at times we're to really fight for the truth. But Lord, help us to have as our first goal, and even in times of war, may our purpose be the peace that will result from that. Lord, we pray that You would help us in this day of attorney bills and attorneys and fighting and in this day of people at odds with one another, that there would be some Christians in this room who would say, by God's grace, I'm going to be a peacemaker.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God. But the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chapel and the Ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chapel's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.